Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 103 at 18,119. S&P 500 Index up 12 at 2,122. NASDAQ Composite up 36 at 5,153, setting a new closing and intraday record that tops the highs set on Thursday. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 9 basis points at 2.36%. Oil up 7 cents at $59.68 per barrel. Gold down $14.40 at $1,186.90 per ounce. Silver up 9 cents at $16.27. In addition to new record highs at the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000 gained 7 to close at 1,292, a record high. The S&P 500, about a stone's throw from record highs at 2130. Eurozone leaders held an emergency session today to urgently discuss the situation of Greece at the highest political level. The summit comes just 8 days before Athens needs to make a crucial 1.6 billion euro payment to the IMF. Over the weekend, Greek PM Alexis Tsipras submitted a new reform package to foreign creditors, signaling 11th-hour concessions to avoid a possible default. The Greek government said its proposals included steps to eliminate early retirement options, hike the sales tax, increase tax surcharges that middle and high-income earners pay, and to introduce a levy on companies with annual net income of more than $570,000. Eurozone finance ministers welcomed the Greek proposals for a cash for reform deal, but said they required detailed study and it would take several days to determine whether they can lead to an agreement to avert a default. The ministers agreed to reconvene later this week. And even if there is a deal between Greece and the Troika, Tsipras still faces a hard sail with his own parliament and Greek voters. The European Union has extended sanctions against Russia by 6 months to the end of January, keeping up pressure on the Kremlin to bring peace to eastern Ukraine. The restrictions outlaw financing for major Russian banks, ban the export of sophisticated energy exploration equipment, and prohibit the sale of weapons and some civilian goods with military uses. You may recall that Greece had been courting Russian economic aid. They shied away from a veto on sanctions. The National Association of Realtors reports existing home sales increased 5.1% to an annual rate of 5.35 million units, the highest level since November 2009. The increase unwound April's surprise drop in purchases. First-time buyers accounted for 32% of transactions. That's the largest share since September 2012. Relatively low borrowing costs are still supporting would-be buyers who can qualify for credit. The average rate for a 30-year fixed mortgage reached 4.04% for the week ended June 11th. While that was the highest rate this year, it's below the average 4.17% for all of last year. The NAR said the median price of an existing home rose 7.9% from May 2014 to $228,700. And according to the NAR, sales of U.S. residential real estate to overseas buyers between April last year and March this year reached a record $104 billion, or about 8% of total existing home sales. While the number of properties sold slowed to 209,000 from 232,600 last year, buyers acquired more expensive properties, which brought up the sales total. Chinese were far and away the top foreign buyers of real estate last year, accounting for $28.6 billion in sales. Canada ranked second with $11.2 billion, followed by India with $7.9 billion. Florida was the top state for overseas real estate buyers, accounting for 21% of all U.S. sales to foreign buyers. California ranked second with 16%. Followed by Texas, 8%, and Arizona, with 5%. The Senate is scheduled to end the debate on fast-track authority for trade deals tomorrow, with a vote that will likely send the Trans-Pacific Partnership to the president's desk. TPP would create a trade-free zone covering 40% of the world economy, making it the largest trade deal since NAFTA. Big decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court. Rulings in 11 cases are expected to be announced this week as the highest court in the U.S. approaches the end of its spring term. The Supreme Court this morning denied Google's appeal, and Google will have to defend claims that its Street View mapping software violates patents held by Videri. The High Court's decision not to hear the case leaves intact a March 2014 ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which threw out a district judge's finding that Google had not infringed on four different patents. The case will now return to lower courts for further proceedings. In another case, the Supremes sided with a renegade raisin farmer in his battle against a federal program designed to keep excess raisins off the market. A majority of justices ruled that the Agriculture Department program, which seizes excess raisins from producers in order to prop up market prices during bumper crop years, amounted to an unconstitutional government taking. But they limited their verdict to raisins, lest they simultaneously overturn other government programs that limit production of goods without actually seizing private property. In a 5-4 decision, the Supremes boosted privacy rights by striking down as unconstitutional a Los Angeles city ordinance requiring hotel operators to show a list of registered guests to the police on demand. The court held that the guest registry law violated the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches because the legislation gave hotel managers no chance to seek a ruling from a judge or magistrate before complying with a police request. And in the case of Kimball v. Marvell, a.k.a. the Spider-Man case, the court ruled that patent holders may not collect royalties on a patent after it expires. The case dealt with a toy that shoots out fake webs a la Spider-Man. Justice Kagan, writing for the majority, said the parties set no end date for royalties, apparently contemplating that they would continue for as long as kids wanted to imitate Spider-Man by doing whatever a spider can. Patents endow their holders with certain superpowers, but only for a limited time. Things will get more serious later in the week with big announcements on the fate of gay marriage and Obamacare. There is a merger and acquisition scramble going on in the health insurance sector. Cigna's board of directors has rejected a $47 billion takeover offer from Anthem, saying in a letter Sunday they were deeply disappointed in Anthem's actions. The Cigna board was unanimous in their decision, which they called inadequate in their letter. Anthem announced a $184 a share offer on Saturday. Others have been quietly maneuvering as well. United Health Group, the biggest American health insurer by revenue, recently made a preliminary approach to Aetna. And a number of companies, including Cigna, have indicated their interest in buying Humana, one of the smaller major insurers, but one with a valuable Medicare franchise. Still too early to say how this will all play out, but there is a good chance the big five health insurers will soon be the big three. Williams Companies has rejected an unsolicited buyout offer worth $48 billion from Energy Transfer Equity, but has hired banks to explore alternatives, including a merger, a sale of the company, or simply continuing on its own path. Williams said the $64 a share bid, a 33% premium to Friday's closing price, significantly undervalued the company and would not deliver value commensurate with what it expects to achieve on a standalone basis. Sequential Brands Group has reached a deal to acquire Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia for $353 million. The deal marks the end of Martha Stewart's run as an independent company. It went public in a 1999 IPO. In recent years, it suffered from sagging sales related to its core publishing business, as licensing and merchandising emerged as the company's prime driver. Over the last year, Facebook's stock has jumped roughly 30% as the broader S&P 500 has barely managed to keep its head above water. The climb has added more than $65 billion to Facebook's market value, and it's now bigger than Walmart. Market cap leapfrogging like this happens all the time, but this one might feel particularly ridiculous to many. If we size up Facebook and Walmart, there's no contest as to which one has the larger economic footprint. By revenue, Walmart is the largest company in the world, with annual sales clocked in at $476 billion last year. Facebook recorded revenue of roughly $12.5 billion, but that was enough to bring its market cap to more than $236 billion, just above Walmart's $235 billion. It represents a shift in the economy from brick and mortar and industrial to technology. Of the five largest U.S. companies in terms of market cap, three are tech companies, in order: Apple, Microsoft, ExxonMobil, Berkshire Hathaway, and Google. The information sector's share of economic output has stayed remarkably flat at about 5% of GDP in 2014, roughly where it was in 1997. This is largely because GDP, the benchmark measure of the economy, is calculated by adding up monetary transactions. So while Facebook's advertising sales contribute to GDP, the millions of users logging on for free each day don't register at all. Same goes for Google searches and visits to Wikipedia. That benefit is what's known as a consumer surplus, a benefit to well-being not captured in traditional economic stats. Apple is about to launch a $9.99 monthly music subscription service, Apple Music, June 30th. And to get people to try it out, Apple will offer free 3-month trial subscriptions. At the same time, Apple has told musicians it won't pay royalties during this period because no money is coming in. At least that was the deal until Taylor Swift stepped up. Swift wrote a blog to Apple saying, "We don't ask you for free iPhones. Please don't ask us to provide you with our music for no compensation." So, Apple changed its tune and now says it will pay artists during the free 3-month trial. We invite you to follow along at MoneyRadio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Text audio, and you can also get free podcast at eatthebankers.com. eatthebankers.com.